For this week's Wisconsin Legends segment, we turn the lens on Wisconsin independent filmmaker Mark Borchardt. He was featured in the 1999 documentary American Movie, which followed Mark and his eccentric crew of family and friends through the struggles of making the movie Coven, a low-budget independent horror film.
That year, the documentary won the Sundance Film Festival's Grand Jury Prize, and in the years since has developed a cult-like following, due in part to Mark's passionate approach to life and filmmaking.
American Movie garnered Mark international attention, including appearances on David Letterman and Family Guy, and cameos in several large-budget Hollywood films. We recently caught up with the Milwaukee native and talked to him about his love for cinema and what he's been up to since that documentary. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
So when did you first know that you wanted to devote your life to making films?
Well, I wanted to devote my life to my life about 5 years old when I'd look up at the stars at night in the city and think, wow, what a wondrous opportunity this all is. I began writing first. Film came at the age of 14. I never was one for movies. I thought them infantile and nothing to do with the life that was actually being lived. I'd look at film books, though, and study the dramatic black and white stills and you know, just really regale myself in their compositions. And that's what excited me about film. I guess my imagination was on, you know, full speed ahead looking at those publicity stills and so forth. And, you know, you'd begin to wonder what the films were about and so forth. So I came to film a different way. Like I said, I wasn't really into quote-unquote movies. I was into film from the get-go.
And you, I didn't know this until just today, you did some radio dramas, Halloween radio dramas in Milwaukee. What were those like?
Sure. Actually, I was just thinking about that because, you know, if someone said, hey, you know, you're on the air. I've been in front of a mic since like 94 when we, I did 3 years of radio dramas, wrote, produced, and directed them, you know, and it was a full professional mix. And I've always listened to Suspense and Inner Sanctum and Lights Out and Escape and The Mysterious Traveler, et cetera, which should ring a bell with you guys.
Yeah.
as I listened to year after year after year as well of WHAD 8 to 11 on Sunday nights for old time radio drama. But I will say I started listening to radio dramas over 30 years ago, though.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the making of your film, Coven. It was captured in the documentary American Movie. You got international attention from that and a cult following. Can you tell us what you learned from that process and the aftermath and all that exposure that came afterwards?
Oh, you don't learn anything. You learn that one never changes. It's the people that are around them that change and their reactions and so forth. And there's the good-hearted aspect of it. There's a superficial aspect of all of that stuff. I never thought twice about it. It's not in my psyche. It's not in my bloodstream. When I made Coven, it was a great time. I shot it on 16mm black and white. And I knew what was going on when I was filming it. I'm very happy about the compositions with the scarecrows and all of that. With that, I got exactly what I wanted with the music, those opening credits. That's all I had hoped to accomplish aesthetically, and that is where I stand, you know. It was a cantankerous ordeal doing Coven. You know, you're dealing with lights, you're dealing with different crew members, you know, and you're a fluctuating schedule. And it was a 3-year effort, and it was really cool. It paid off and got it done.
Nowadays, a lot of filmmakers and others are using a crowdfunding, things like Kickstarter, to bring their works to reality. Have you looked into doing that? If you'd had it available back then, would you have used it for your previous project?
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm just not interested in involving myself with a bunch of people. I have a singular personality. I've got my own agenda, my own continuing narrative. And the more people you encounter, the more potential that your singular narrative can be prone to being diluted. And I don't go for that. So, you know, who knows?
You know, another thing that's changed since you've made Coven is that people have talked a lot about the democratization of the movie-making process and that, you know, you don't have to be a Hollywood studio. There are still indie filmmakers, but they have so many more options now. There are smaller handheld cameras. There's the internet and YouTube. Do you think it's easier now to make it as a filmmaker than it used to be?
It's absolutely easier to make it as a filmmaker on a couple counts, technically, of course, because there's no longer a cost for film stock or anything like that. I mean, it's anyone can actually do it, and many do. And now also filmmaking has come into the popular culture. You're no longer you feel a sense of ostracization saying you're a filmmaker. That's just part of the culture now. I mean, 10, 20 years from now, a writer, if you're a novelist, it'll be like a filmmaker as literature seeps more and more into the populist psyche as film has done.
You've obviously got a lot of passion about filmmaking. It's almost contagious, and your story has inspired other people to make their own films. What advice would you have for somebody thinking, I think I have a film in me, I don't know how to start, I don't know what to do?
This is pretty platitudinous, but you have to be original, because if you are copying some other paradigm, some other genre, and it's apparent that you're copying it, you're dead in the water. But if you have an original voice and it's really from the heart and you put genuine effort into it, that's the best advice one can give, along with taking it very seriously, being as prepared as you can and courteous and respectful to those, that you find yourself, your colleagues that you're working with.
I want to ask a little bit about you, if you don't mind, because through your appearances on Letterman, other exposure in the media, people got really curious about you as a person. And I wonder now, years down the road, after some of that has died down, what is your day-to-day life like? Do you still roll out of bed and the first thing on your mind is making film? Is that your 9-to-5 job?
No, it never has been. And I've never thought about media appearances ever. I've never talked about it. I've never thought about it. Again, I'm thankful for whatever, may happen. I'm thankful for the parking spot I got getting here. Your lot was packed. But I had patience. I came early and someone had pulled out and there's that one space. And, with preparation and contingency time, we got here on time.
So you're not a superstar, anymore, at least.
I was a superstar to myself since 1966. I don't get into any of this media stuff. Never have, never will. Never thought twice about it. I mean, as in for any, a media attraction that literally never ends. That never had its heyday. I mean that. Continues, especially with the electronic universe, you open yourself up to it, and it's like a floodgate. There's no end. There's no peak. There's no valley. It just rolls on. If you so choose to get involved with that sort of lifestyle and thinking, that never ends.
And filmmaking, is it still your number one passion? It's still what you do from 9 to 5. What's on your mind most of the day?
Oh, I don't do anything from 9 to 5. I'm 24 hours of who I am. I write every day. That's number one. Filmmaking to me is a spiritual thing. I don't have anything to do with independent filmmaking. It's a personal agenda and so on and so forth. So it's completely maybe different in my aspect.
You've been an actor in other people's projects. I could see it going either way. Like it would be way easier because all the logistics and everything else, they're on that other person. I could see it being harder too, like because you know kind of what they need from you. How does acting compare to making a film?
Acting compared to making a film is entirely different. There are actually many, many professional actors. I mean, at the height of the craft, you have De Niro and so on and so forth. This is what they do. Pacino, Strasberg, all of that. That this is their lives. This is their craft. This is what they believe in. Other people, they merely show up in front of the frame and exude their personality. So it's a different level of acting. It's just an amplified sense of self. So obviously, you have to be responsible. You learn your lines. You learn them. You study them the day before. It's like a military operation, day to day to day to day of studying, acting, studying, acting, studying, acting. And, if you're responsible, you know your lines, you're able to perform and all as well.
Now, you said earlier on that the films that you were seeing were not reflective of real life. So I'm curious, today, 2014, are you seeing movies right now that you loved? Have you seen one that you love?
Oh, no. When I'm the concept of movies, the concept, the overall concept is a populist entertainment, which I never had any interest in whatsoever. Now, I've always been immersed, like in Antonioni and Bergman and Tarkovsky and Wells and Polanski, Dreyer, et cetera, on and on and on. I've never kowtowed to any populist bent or wasted a great amount of time with any of that other stuff.
Have you seen anything that you loved lately?
Let's see. In the mid-80s was Jim Jarmusch's Down by Law. In around mid-90s was Slam, Mark Levin's Slam. In the after the turn of the century and into the teens was Terrence Malick's Tree of Life. Now, that's for films that I encountered at the time that they came out, you know. So those, each decade, that 80s was Down by Law, 90s Slam, present, Tree of Life. But again, those are not my references. My reference are Bergman's Hour of the Wolf, Scenes from a Marriage, Persona, Shame, Face to Face, Autumn Sonata, you know, Antonioni's Mysteries, Dreyer's Passion of Joan of Arc, Vampire, Day of Wrath, Ordet, Gertrude, all of that. I mean, it just on and on and on. I mean, I don't reference. I have no dealings with. I don't receive things, you know, ambiguously. I do my research and then move forward from that.
Well, what is next on the filmmaking horizon for you? Do you have a project in the works or in mind?
I've got a whole stack of things I got to send out for registration and copyright, various written projects and so on and so forth. So film-wise, yeah, that's interesting. I shot four different projects, but I don't sit in front of screens, so I don't edit. You know, I don't life's too short to be looking at a screen. So, you know, I'm really into the process, had a really great time shooting dozens of hours of footage, and someday I may assemble it, and as for any upcoming film projects, if it strikes me, absolutely. Again, you know, I like to think, I like to read, I like to write. Those have always been my main agenda, and filmmaking was a way to show the outside world or, you know, amplify those interests to the point where other people could experience them, so I will say, though, I'm in Frankie Latina's new film, Snapshot, and Frankie Latina is just this outstanding filmmaker here in Milwaukee who did Modus Operandi on Super 8, and now he, again, got Danny Trejo to town and Cade Carradine to star in his new masterpiece shot on Super 16, Snapshot.
Well, Mark, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, thank you. No, it was wonderful. What a delight.
That was Mark Borchert, writer, filmmaker, and Milwaukee native.